NBI Studios, this is Truth and Justice, a crowdsourced investigation in real time. I'm Bob Ruff. Welcome to the new year. As we continue along with our bonus series, this week I'm joined by the subject of Season 3, Jesse Eldridge. Jesse was convicted for the 1991 stabbing death of Kiao Gove. Mrs. Gove was taking a walk around her neighborhood when she was seemingly senselessly attacked and stabbed multiple times. The case went cold for years before a corrupt detective manipulated Jesse's own brother into testifying that he actually witnessed Jesse murdering Kiao. With no other evidence linking Jesse to the crime, the state went to trial armed with nothing but his brother Troy's testimony. And sadly, that was enough. Jesse was convicted and sentenced to life in prison. And over two decades later, just 2 years ago, Troy finally recanted his testimony to me live on the air. I turned the recording over to the Innocence Project of Texas, who turned it over to the Dallas County Conviction Integrity Unit. That was in 2019. At that point, we all believed that Jesse's release from prison was imminent. But 2 years later, Jesse is still in prison. He joins me today to share his feelings on his case.
Texas Ranger James Holland is a legendary interrogator. They call him the serial killer whisperer.
You can't hide those indications, and that's why yesterday I knew that he did it.
But now, shocking interrogation tapes reveal how the super cop really operates.
And that's why they asked me to come in, because I'm special.
From Something Else, The Marshall Project, and Sony Music Entertainment, this is Smokescreen. Just say you're sorry. Listen and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Before I play my conversation with Jesse, I want to let you guys know that this is not a fun interview. This isn't Ed beaming about life on the outside with his family, or even Jamie Snow's positivity in the face of having decades of life stolen from him. Jesse is tired. He's exhausted. He no longer possesses the energy to pretend. He's innocent, and he wants out, and he's frustrated. And as sad as this is, it's something that you need to hear. You need to hear and feel the real results, the real ramifications of a wrongful conviction. I want you to really understand the toll that a stolen life takes on a person. As hard as it is to hear, this is why we do what we do. Our small part to try to put an end to the pain left in the wake of a wrongful conviction. Here's Jesse. Jesse.
Yeah. A whole lot of, I don't know. I really, really don't know.
Oh, well, it's good to hear from you, man.
Well, I mean, Bob, I've had an interesting past couple of years, and you know, like I've been writing you.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to maintain my own, I don't know what you would call it.
Sanity?
I don't consider myself a nutcase. I just don't, it's like I'm walking a fine line.
Right. Well, what's been going on? I mean, I know you've gotten bounced around from units. We still haven't had any action from the innocent or from the Conviction Integrity Unit.
Well, Bob, I've heard from, you know, no one other than I got an update letter from the Innocence Project, and it's like I told you, I asked Allison and company to stop giving me update letters that consist of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, you get a mailroom slip on Friday and you gotta sweat it all weekend, or you're expecting some kind of news other than I Bob, I haven't bashed Allison. I haven't bashed the Cynthia Garza. I haven't done none of that. And it's walking a fine line between maintaining hope and then and not being able to. You know, this is a harder phone call to make than the very beginning, first meeting you and everything. Bob, I look at it. I really thought everything was going along great. And now it feels like I'm further off than ever before. And Patricia's so tore up, it ain't funny. You know what happened the other day?
What's that?
My son, Nick, he works for Petco. He's going to be graduating for veterinarian tech and all, but he goes to a new store, and a woman comes in and recognizes him from your show. And the woman asked Nick, you know, how are you and everything, and then turns around and asks how I am. Well, Nick turns around and tells her all that he's fine and everything's great. And then he tells Patricia that he felt so bad telling him that because he just didn't want to tell him the fact that he's so disappointed and so let down with everything that's been going on. And it dawned on me that none of my children, none of my family should have to be put in a position that they don't want to tell them the truth that, hey, everything sucks.
Right.
And, you know, Bob, when I talk to people, I don't sit here and lie about nothing. You can't find one lie I've ever said, because I'm adamant about not doing that. But I keep a line of hope, because that's all I got left. I don't want to sit there and say I give up, because I can't do that.
What is the you said you've gotten update letters? I mean, I haven't heard anything in a long time, other than, you know, they're waiting on the, you know, since Troy recanted. After that, it was all I've heard was we're waiting on the conviction integrity unit, and I haven't heard anything since.
Bob, they told me about the conviction integrity unit. Been wanting to talk to me since September 2019. Take away a year for the pandemic, even, and that's still a year and a half. Okay, whatever they have to set up, I don't see what the problem is in setting it up, because they know where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Clayton, the Innocence Project, you know, they talk to Troy every 2 or 3 months or whatever, make sure he's ready for what, I don't know. The actual last update letter I got was from last month or the month before. It was to tell me that they're waiting on Cynthia Garza still, and that they're trying to find Shauna Couples to get an updated affidavit from her. They've retested the the keys again or whatever. That was last January. Of course, there's no DNA, no nothing on them. And it's just been, I'm being told it's all about waiting on Cynthia Garza and the CIU, and that's it.
Yeah, that was my understanding, was they were supposed to come visit you or whatever. But yeah, I've been hearing the same thing for 2 years. And I know from the conversations I've had with Allison, she's frustrated, but nothing's happened. I feel for you, man. I don't know what to even tell you. I mean, I thought in 2019 when Troy recanted to me that was going to be it.
Oh, you know, Bob, I went, you know, I've been staying in contact with Kathy and Don, and I've been, you know, writing Kelly Zappas and Ellen Victoria over there in Denmark. And then a new person started writing me out of the blue, Linda. And, you know, they've been keeping me sane. And I don't know if you know who Linda is, but her son committed suicide behind being charged with a crime, and he thought he was solving everything by doing that. I can pretty much understand why he would feel that way. Because Bob, the past couple years have been the most. I would rather face the charges all over again than go through the past couple years. I fought with my wife. I fought with my kids. I fought with myself. I've questioned myself more in the past year and a half than I've ever questioned anything I've ever done in my life. Yesterday, when I got your message about calling you, I really questioned whether it would help or hinder me. I can't even help myself no more. I've been up for parole 7 times. They'll never give me parole because I just can't do it, Bob. I can't sign my paper. I can't sign my name to a paper. I can't let them put a tag on my ankle. I didn't do nothing to merit that.
Right.
And it just, my mind and it rolls back to my screwed up morals and ethics. Bob, everything they have is out of their own records. From what they done to Troy to the messed up DNA testing to everything else is out of their own records. And whether it happened 10 years ago or 27 years ago, you know, it just gets, you know, I understand it's harder to get a man out than it is. I wish I could solve it for him, but I can't. But I don't know what to do no more.
Well, I'm sure all you can do is sit there and wait, and it's got to be just absolute misery. Especially, I don't know. I mean, especially with them having Troy's recantation, that should be enough. And then, I mean, you correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like just that got handed to the CIU, and then they've just sat on it.
Bob, I've tried to look at it like, okay, Cynthia Garza was I don't even know if she, 8 or 10 years old when all this happened. And I understand this administration don't want to call the past administration crooked, but if you're gonna be in the job, hey, bad things happen. And Dallas has a rotten history to begin with.
Well, and what's the point of having a conviction integrity unit if you're not going to look into correcting bad convictions?
Well, I mean, Bob, it would be different if there was nothing that they could prove. I mean, I watched them walk four people through there already this year. Cynthia Garza, I know, walked two of them through there, and they don't have half of what we have on this case. They don't have half of it. I don't know. They don't want to alienate Cynthia Garza, but Allison got quite upset at me, and I know what I wrote her was to the point, this feels exactly like when I went to court the first time. I walked in the courtroom, and I knew when Miller didn't have Tammy there, when he didn't have anybody there for my alibi or everything, I knew that courtroom, everybody in there thought I was expendable. And I know, I don't know it no more, but it sure feels that way all over again. And it shouldn't, but it does. And I don't blame nobody. There's nobody to blame. There's no one person to blame in this. And I'm not feeling sorry for myself, dude. But it really feels like being expendable. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I mean, I wish I had the words to be. I can't even say that I feel your pain, or even that I understand it. I mean, I understand why you feel that way, but I can't fathom being in your position.
Can I ask you, Bob? And I mean, did you ask Allison if I could call you or you could talk to me?
No, I didn't. I haven't talked to her.
I didn't figure you did.
I probably will have to run it by her before I air anything, but I just wanted to get you on the phone. I've been wanting to talk to you for a while anyway. And this sucks. You know, everybody wants, I mean, constant people still care about your case. I constantly have people asking me for updates, and you know, once it got turned over to the CIU, they cut off my communication where they won't even let Allison share anything with me. So I don't know what's going on. And I know that, you know, I knew you weren't going to get on the phone with me and, you know, tell me how wonderful everything is. It's a bummer, you know, for everybody. You know, we have a whole army of audience that followed your case, worked on your case, tried to help figure out what happened that ultimately led to the only piece of evidence against you getting recanted. And then we've all just been sitting here for, as you said, 2.5 years.
Bob, I mean, yeah, it's like I told Patricia, you know, because she still gets, we haven't talked about my case. We don't talk about it because it's too emotional. And when she asked me to do the parole thing, and I told her, I told you her and I had a blow up from hell. When she asked me to take parole for it, and I told her if I was going to do that, I should have went ahead and topped out to the 15 years for Tiago's murder to begin with.
Right.
If I was going to do that, I might as well took two or three murder cases. I told her the ugliest I ever got with her was when we argued about that. I yelled at her, and I told her I might as well take, if they got any child abuse cases or whatever, I might as well take that too, because Bob, I have never beat up a woman. I have never done nothing like that, and I sure as hell ain't never took a weapon to no woman. And that would be the same as me beating up a child to me. I'm sorry, but that, and Patricia and I, and it still makes me feel less than what I am. A whole lot less.
Can I ask you something? So you had the opportunity to play.
Bob, you can ask me any damn thing you want as long as you don't edit out the answer. That's all I ask.
No, I won't. You had the opportunity to plead guilty way back in the 90s and take 15 years. Had you done that, you'd be out now.
Yeah.
Knowing now what you knew then, do you regret making that decision to go to trial and not take the plea?
No, Bob, I can't. I don't regret that. I'll never regret it because I'm... And that's what's wrong, man. That's what's wrong. Bob, I walked into a room full of men and pulled a pistol on them, an empty pistol, because I knew that they ain't going to do nothing back to me. And I didn't care what happened to me or what people thought of me. I done what I done. I've slapped grown men for just looking the wrong way. But I've had a woman stab me and I've done nothing to her. I want to let the mother of my oldest girl spank them until they were old enough to realize what they done wrong. A 4-year-old don't understand what they done wrong 2 minutes after it happened. So what's the use in spanking them? So how would I explain to my kids, I admitted to murdering a female that I never knew, that I never had nothing to do with, just to get it over with? I really expect to be dead long before now.
You know, I know it's probably no comfort, but that's one of the things that I've always respected about you is that I truly believe that that's why I asked the question, that if you somehow had a time machine and could go back to that courtroom, that you'd do it all over again because you refused to say you did something that you didn't do.
Bob, if it would have been a robbery, if it would have been something, anything harmless. I say harmless because to me, saying I beat up a cop or I beat up some guy on the street or any of that I considered back then that's okay. But I never want a tag of being. I don't want that. I've never touched a woman or child like that. And I'm sorry that anybody would think I would.
Well, I think the worst part about it is that I don't think anybody thinks you did at this point. Certainly, surely the Conviction Integrity Unit can't still believe at this point that you had anything to do with Kiao's murder. That's the frustrating thing from the outside, and that's why I'm not going to pretend to say I understand what you're feeling on the inside. From the outside, it's like what the hell is the holdup? And that's with me, you know, moving on with, you know, with my life, with my wife, my kids, other cases that I'm doing. It's still always on the back of my mind. I can't even fathom being you, where it's just your world every single day, and that's all there is.
Bob, I do a thing. Bob, I've been down here. I'm on my 27th year My wife's been waiting 15 years. My kid's been waiting forever. But they're still there. They're still here in my life. You know, I talk to Troy once a week. We don't talk about the case. We can't talk about a lot of things. This got him messed up, too.
I'm sure.
And I don't hate him. I've never. What's funny is I really don't hate nobody about none of it. But there's nothing to compare it to no more in my life. Patricia's hurting. Kathy's and Don, everybody still has hope, much more than, probably more than me.
Before we run out of time, Jesse, is there anything that you want to say to the people that are listening? And also, what can people do to help? I get that question all the time. What could we do to help? And in your case, I usually tell him, write him a letter. He's in there all alone.
Bob.
Yeah.
You and the people there, Truth and Justice, everybody. I'm talking about Mike. I'm talking about Shane Yoder. I'm talking about all the people involved. I still got some of their names. But every one of y'all, I still thank you so much, because you got what I wanted, and you proved to my family, you proved to my friends that I didn't do it. Nobody can pick up, and I tell guards to Google me now. Why don't you Google my name? And they read all that, and then they listen to your season 3, and they say, why are you here? Because I'm a minority. That's why I'm here. And even if you don't understand it, Mr. Ruff, you accomplished what I wanted from the beginning, was to show my family, my kids, my brothers and sisters, that I did not do it. And nobody can say I did. Don't forget about me, I guess. That's all. Just don't forget about me. Bob, I don't forget about none of y'all. I reread your episodes. I still got a couple of them here.
You have 1 minute left.
Bob, I'm going to let you go.
Well, we're definitely not going to forget about you, Jesse, but it was good. It was good to hear from you.
I'm sorry. It's not a better thing to talk about.
Well, I think people need to hear this side of things, too.
Please take care.
All right. You do the same, Jesse.
I love you. Bye-bye.
I love you, man.
The caller has hung up.
Truth and Justice is an NBI Studios production and is distributed by Wondery. Produced and edited by Mike Bussing and sound engineered by Shane Yoder. All music for the show was created, composed, and scored by PutThemInASong.com, who also mixed and mastered this episode. All of our font across all of our logos and banners were created by Tate Krupa of Red Swan Graphic Design. You can find more of Tate's work on Etsy. Thank you to Katie Ross of createdintandem.com for designing, creating, managing, and maintaining our website, truthandjusticepod.com, where you can view all photos and documents discussed in every episode. And a big thank you to our transcription team, Pamela Westby, Kathy McElhaney, Charlena White, Kaywood Yomnick, Ginger Fiola, Edith Swanneck, Lindsay Pease, Erica Cantor, and Jen Reese Incandela.
And as always, thank you to all of you for all of your engagement and support. If you like the show and you'd like to support us, you can do so in a number of ways. To financially support the show, you can go to patreon.com/truthandjustice. On the Patreon page, you can pledge as little as $3 a month, and we also have reward levels. For just $5 a month, you get access to ad-free versions of all of our episodes and behind-the-scenes videos of the creation of our Friday follow-up episodes that always include 10 to 30 minutes of pre-show bonus chat. Other reward levels include t-shirts, hats, and even the opportunity to co-host one of our Friday follow-up episodes. To become a patron, just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice. You can also help us out by going to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star rating and review. And lastly, you can always support us by supporting the companies that sponsor this program. If you have a new case that you'd like us to consider for future seasons, you can submit your cases on our website, truthandjusticepod.com. Just click on the case submission button and fill out the form. And the most important thing that you can do is to engage in our investigations. You can keep in touch with us through our email at theories@truthandjusticepod.com. You can like our Facebook page or join in on the conversation on the Truth and Justice Podcast fans page. For all of you tweeters, you can connect with us on Twitter at Truth Justice Pod. And I personally can be found on social media at Bob Ruff Truth, and Mike can be found at Murb Gaming. MURRBGAMING. Don't forget that we always have our 24/7 voicemail line open for questions, comments, or tips on our cases. That phone number is 269-224-2833. However you do it, stay engaged, stay in touch. But as for now, I'm signing off. I'm Bob Ruff, and this has been Truth and Justice.